Hello and welcome to another episode of Untangling. I'm so happy to be back on the air. I was sick as a dog from my last episode till probably around maybe a little less than a week ago. I just struggled to talk. I had no voice. I had to isolate myself from the rest of my family. Literally just struggled to get out of bed. Didn't know what it was. I did go to urgent care to see if I had COVID, to see if I had the flu, strep throat. I didn't know what I had. But luckily, when I got to urgent care, all the tests came back negative. And they said that there is a virus going around that's really impacting a lot of people. And it looks like you have it. The only thing I was able to do, because with this virus, they can't prescribe an antibiotic. So simply fluids, Tylenol or Advil. I would literally just try to walk on the treadmill to try to get healthier by the day. The good news is today I am feeling great and I am so happy to be back on the airwaves. So hope everybody is having a new year. I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is a great show on HBO, for those of you who don't watch it. It was a pretty interesting episode. He simply said, hey, with the Happy New Year's, greatest length of time when you could actually still say that should be 3 days after the New Year. Some people will keep saying Happy New Year a month. Some people believe it's 3 months. And then there's others that believe it is a year where you could keep saying, hey, hope you're having a great new year. Happy New Year. So whatever your decision is on how you approach it, reach out to the Untangling audience and wish everybody a happy new year. So what's been going on? Let me see. One is just a lot of conversation. So I'm listening to a lot of podcasts. And one thing that keeps coming up every year, it's something new, right? I'm going to say 2022 was the year of crypto. If you didn't know anything about crypto, it's been around for a while. It kept gaining steam and gaining steam. As it turns out, a few bad apples single-handedly almost destroyed that industry. Every functioning industry is based on trust. But with crypto, there is right now a portion of it where there is zero trust. So we just saw a lot of the coins just tank. And a lot of people just said, hey, I'm done with this Ponzi scheme, which is what some people called it. Other people called it the land of unicorn, shit coins, whatever the phrase is. A lot of people just simply stepped back and said, I'm going to reallocate my portfolio to what works. I'm stepping away from crypto. My views on crypto is simple. I think that with Ethereum, with Bitcoin, it is legit. However, when your name is on something, people don't have time to decipher which is which. You're just lumped in. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, for example, I'm going to actually be flying out to Vegas. Can't wait. It's the homecoming. Haven't been out there for many years. Great place to visit. But if I were to get my airline tickets through Priceline, okay, and they place me with American Airlines, anything goes wrong, guess who I call? I call American Airlines. I don't call Priceline. So American Airlines, they want to put their name on the ticket. They want to use Priceline as the source on how you get that ticket. Guess what? All complaints go to American Airlines. You probably recently saw it on the news with what Southwest Airlines is going through. Southwest Airlines has been one of the greatest airlines in the last 50 years. One of the greatest. They're one of my favorite airlines ever. Convenient, easy, but it took 50 years to build that brand name, and it took one bad day to basically destroy it, to a lot of people saying, I'm no longer flying Southwest. So with crypto, I bring that up because BTC, Ether, they're clean. However, guess what? When people think of crypto, they think of Bitcoin, they think of Ethereum, because that's all they hear. So that's my two cents in regards to crypto. What else is going on? So like I said, AI is going to be what you keep hearing in 2023, artificial intelligence. And a close friend who was actually on this podcast brought to my attention, have you heard of ChatGPT? And I hope I have those acronyms right with the GPT. And I said, I haven't. That was the end of it. And he did a lot of research. He said, listen, this thing is legit. So over the holidays, I went to a luncheon for the board, agent for a big corporation in the health insurance space, asked me, have you heard of ChatGPT? And I told him, you're the second person who's brought this to my attention. What is it? And he said, this thing is legit. It is an AI software that could literally help you from running a business to editing contracts to writing a book to learning more about your industry to social media, how to message, how to post blogs. And I said, okay, I got to check this thing out. So I told a couple friends about it and I got a chance to use it. And I am blown away by the technology. So with AI, what ended up happening? Microsoft just put $10 billion down investing in ChatGPT. So for further clarification on the website, it says ChatGPT optimizing language models for dialogue. We've trained a model called ChatGPT, which interacts in conversational way. The dialogue format makes it possible for ChatGPT to answer follow-up questions, admits its mistakes, challenge incorrect premises, and reject inappropriate requests. ChatGPT is a sibling model to InstructGPT, which is trained to follow an instruction in a prompt provided detailed response. So I'm actually going to log into it right now, and I want to see what it says in regards to being an effective sales manager. All right, so the exact question I asked ChatGPT is how to be an effective sales manager. And it says, being an effective sales manager involves several key skills and responsibilities. These include setting and achieving sales goals. A sales manager must be able to set realistic, challenging sales targets for their team and then provide support resources necessary to help them achieve those goals. Hiring and training. A sales manager must be able to identify and hire top sales talent and then provide training and development opportunities to help them succeed. Lead generation. A sales manager should be able to identify and develop new business opportunities for their team to pursue. Sales strategy. A sales manager must be able to create and implement effective sales strategies that align with the overall goals of the organization. Motivating the team. Sales manager must be able to motivate and inspire their team to achieve their sales target. And there are several more examples. What I find so fascinating about this is if you follow those guidelines, that's what it takes to be an effective sales manager. A lot of times people want to be a successful sales manager, but they say, you know what? I don't have to motivate my team because my team loves me. Right there, you would fail. So it's almost like with this ChatGPT, it gives you the blueprint of success. What's also fascinating about this software is every year at my corporation, we have to update the job description. And a lot of times we struggle with the language, you know, because A, we're not attorneys, we're not part of HR, what wording can we use? And to just be able to kind of get ideas off this platform. And this is just a basic question. You could drop Excel files into the thing. You could drop your PowerPoint and get like feedback edits. It is insane what the thing is able. The other thing I find extremely fascinating is how many people in a corporation can't really tell you what their job entails. And one of the things I've noticed in my corporation is with sales, I see a lot of times we're so trapped in the back end of the business that sometimes we forget we're salespeople. It's really, really fascinating. For example, contracts. You could be in a contract for a week and then you said, I'm supposed to be generating leads, new customers, and closing business. So it's amazing how you kind of go off the blueprint and how everything falls apart. And then organizations will tell you, no, we're struggling because of inflation. We're struggling because it's hard to hire talent. No, you're struggling because you had a blueprint and you went away from that blueprint. And now you have to basically reallocate or reset to find your ways. So if you haven't used it, ChatGPT, I highly recommend playing around with it. And that is to the untangling audience. So another interesting thing I learned about business is I listened to this podcast. It's called the GM Shuffle. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Long story short, it's with Mike Lombardi. And Mike Lombardi is the architect that helped put the Patriot Way together with Bill Belichick. So Mike Lombardi was a general manager, and now he hosts a podcast called the GM Shuffle. And literally, it's one of those podcasts where I wait for an episode with the same enthusiasm that I used to wait for a Sopranos episode. And the reason why I use the term Sopranos is he's actually a very, very big Sopranos fan. But what Mike was talking about, there's a sports aspect, and it's literally one of those podcasts where you should never place a bet without listening to what this guy has to say. To say he knows his stuff would just be an understatement. He has access to NFL contacts you would not believe. He knows everything that's going on with every team based on his history of being a GM, and not only a GM, a very successful one with Bill Belichick on how they were able to form a dynasty. A lot of times you hear the name Bill Belichick, and you think it stops there. And the question I had was, okay, who is helping Bill do all of this? And I kept doing research. I kept trying to find out. And this name kept coming up, Mike Lombardi. And there are these two guys in Vegas I listened to, Paul and Mitch. They're on VSiN. And they had Mike Lombardi on. And he goes, hey, how's it going? My name is Mike Lombardi. He got into his past about, you know, being a general manager of the New England Patriots, and also a consultant for the New England Patriots. Him and Belichick go back to the Cleveland Brown days together, along with the New York Giants, so with Bill Parcells. So I'm just like, okay, this guy's legit. And one of the things it's one thing to have a sports podcast, but it's another thing to understand business. And one of the things he said that really stood out to me when I was listening to this podcast is, in order to run a successful organization, and he said, I don't care what that organization is you need everybody to be on the same page and you need alignment. And he goes, the problem is people think they know what that means. But he goes, I'm going to explain to you what it means. Okay. So alignment as a corporation, we're all in alignment because our goal is 25,000 new members. And we know that's our goal. That's called alignment. Now, being on the same page. Are we on the same page when it comes to hitting that goal? And he said, that is where, and this is, I'm just using my own words here. He does a much better job than I'm doing of explaining this. Are we on the same page when it comes to hitting that goal? And he said, you'll be amazed. 95% of the time, that answer is no. So to his point, right? In my line of work, let's just say I'm responsible for bringing in 25,000 new members. The corporation's in the line. Actuarial looked at the numbers. VPs looked at the numbers. C-suite looked at the numbers. Directors looked at the numbers. That number is 25,000. We got that down. We're aligned. How are we going to do it? So being on the same page is simply, are we going to try to get those customers on a digital marketing campaign? Is it going to be a outbounding campaign? Is it going to be where we make the phones ring? Is it going to be going out to communicate the community to solicit these leads? That's where nobody in an organization is ever on the same page. And I see it every single day. So that really stood out to me. And the other thing he said is this. You can all be on the same page, but you're not aligned. And what he means by that is simple. Okay, in order to get to 25,000, we are going to try to get our customers via a digital method, whether that's social media, Google, Bing, whatever online software you wanna name. So we're all on the same page. Now, is the organization aligned? And a lot of times, 90% of the time, no, they're not aligned because either your director sees the number a certain way, you see the number a certain way, C-suite sees a number a different way, so there's no alignment. And he brought that up because he said, when you're looking for a head coaching position in the NFL, the question you have to ask yourself is the owner aligned with a GM, and is the GM aligned with the coach? And he said, case in point, you look at the Houston Texans, that's clearly not the case. You look at the Arizona Cardinals, that's clearly not the case. Why? Because A, not only did you have the Arizona Cardinals coach, Kingsbury, get fired, but the GM said, hey, I'm going to step away because he clearly knows he's next. You look at the Indianapolis Colts, it's a mess. They hired Jeff Saturday. He was hosting on sports games on Friday. He was a head coach on Saturday. So you know that organization's a joke. But just to kind of express business that way really stood out to me. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, the GM Shuffle, I highly recommend you add it to your list. So Kobe Bryant, I'll never forget, I'm in a movie theater with my daughter, and we would go to the movies on, I want to say it was either Saturday or Sunday, and this is pre-COVID, and there was a movie theater here, and what they did is every Saturday they would play a kids Disney movie, and it was $5 to get in, adults and kids. You know, we get the popcorn, we get the blue icy, and it also came with the fruit snack that she absolutely loves. And so we're watching Aladdin, and for some reason I just looked down at my phone and a TMZ message pops up, and it said Kobe Bryant was involved in a helicopter crash. And I'm reading this in disbelief. And so I just, you know, go back to watching the movie, and then the text messages just started coming in. Kobe died in a helicopter crash. And it's one of those moments where not only will I never forget where I was, but to me, at the same time, it was also a moment when I personally knew, and I'm not speaking for anybody else, this was the beginning of the end. After that point, COVID hits. America's in a down spiral. January 6th, you have a president who is refusing to leave based on false allegations of voter fraud. How many people? I want to say it's well over a million people who passed away from COVID. People literally, co-workers, family members. Every other day, another email of a person passing away, losing childhood friends. It's almost like that moment literally marked for me the beginning of the end. And when I tell you that every year after Kobe passed has gotten more and more and more difficult, it's an understatement. There used to be a time where people would say, hey, going into the new year, this is my year. You don't even hear that anymore. Now everybody's just literally just enjoying their days on earth, not knowing what's around the corner. So why do I bring up Kobe? So I was reading an article, and it was the top earning dead celebrities. That's actually the title. I would have, you know, went with something a little bit, you know, more compassionate, but it's what it is. And so with Kobe was brilliant. He won an Oscar for Dear Basketball. Dear Basketball is an animated short film that won Kobe a Oscar. So just think about that. And in his speech, Bryant said, as a basketball player, we're really supposed to shut up and dribble. But I'm glad we did a little bit more than that. And that was a rebuttal to that loser on Fox News, Laura Ingraham, who said basketball players should shut up and dribble. So Kobe had a very professional way of just basically attacking you, but keeping it very professional, and everybody knew what he meant by that statement. So I bring up Kobe because it said top earning dead celebrities, and like I said, I would have named it something a little bit more compassion. And Kobe Bryant, actually, his trust, his family, made $400 million last year. Kobe's one of those people where he would have been 10 times more successful off the court than he was on the court. That's why his death hit me so hard. Everything he started doing, he was just getting started. And to just get started winning an Oscar, it's mind-boggling. And also, I told the Untangling audience, I coached YMCA youth basketball, and the time I spent on that court with my daughter, there's just so much in correlation with Kobe, his daughters, what they went through, going through those games, the excitement, the fun they must have had. So it really, really hits close to home with me having a daughter and being a girl dad, as he would put it. So Kobe earned his estate earned $400 million last year. And it said Kobe died on January 26, 2020. Again, I'll never forget where I was when that happened. He was 41 years old. The cause was a helicopter crash. And it says the Los Angeles Lakers legend had a stake in Body Armor, the sports drink. In November 2021, Coca-Cola bought the 70% of Body Armor it didn't already own for $5.6 billion. So Coca-Cola owned 30%. They bought the other 70% from Kobe Bryant's estate. So Bryant's estate received a reported $400 million. And this is according to the Wall Street Journal. This is a man who literally made great decisions, made great financial decisions. And I know in America, the way it's designed is simply the narrative that sells is every athlete, 75% of them, NFL basketball, they go broke after they retire. And what they really mean by that is black athletes, okay? Let's not sugarcoat this thing. But they'll never talk about the Kobes, you know, who made $400 million last year. Think about that. So for his wife, his daughters who are grieving, there's no amount of money that you could put on that family that they wouldn't trade it in to have Kobe and, you know, his daughter back. But to know that Kobe made $400 million last year and that his family is secure, it does kind of give you a piece of mind. The second person on that list is actually David Bowie, one of the greatest musicians to ever live. David Bowie brought in his estate brought in $250 million, and that was through the sale of Bowie's publishing catalog and masters. So that's pretty interesting. And then let me see here. You have Elvis Presley on that list at $110 million. And there was a recent biopic in regards to Elvis Presley. And I saw a pretty interesting TikTok. And this guy said, you know, it's fascinating. R. Kelly's in prison for what he did. He goes, I have no problem with that. But we hold people like Elvis Presley to a different standard. Elvis Presley, I want to say, was 25 years old when he married a 14-year-old. And everybody just looks the other way. It's Elvis Presley. Hollywood still wants to make his movies. No problems in regards to canceling Elvis Presley. The other one that really stood out to me was Neil Diamond. And I did not know this. And the TikToker said, look at Neil Diamond. Great career. Nobody wants to cancel him. Neil Diamond wrote a song called Sweet Caroline when he was 23 years old. And it was about John F. Kennedy's 7-year-old daughter, Caroline, Sweet Caroline. Good times never seemed so good. And that just blew me away because I had no idea. But like I said, happy to be back on the air. Look for continued episodes and have a great rest of your week.
Delivery by Kobe Bryant.
A 50-point game in his farewell. Bryant for three. Go! One last gamer. Bryant on the move with the jumper. He got it! 58 points! And the Lakers lead! 60.
Nice rotation of Bryant.
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant! Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center. What a play!
The windmill slam.
Run out by Kobe Bryant. Behind the back. Oh! What did I just see?
You just saw what Kobe does best, and that's bring people to their feet with a sensational play.
Then he got a dribble drive, change of direction by Bryant. Slam dunk. Woo!
And you talk about elevation. Chick, he went up to the rafters before he decided to put somebody on a poster.
They'd love to get it into Nash's hands, and they do.
They do.
Ball knocked away, stolen by Parker.
Oh, here it is.
Here comes George to Kobe Bryant. Bryant inside. It's good. It's good. Tie game.
A one-point game. Walton can tip it. Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got to get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang!
Kobe Bryant has hit a shot at the buzzer.
Four away from Elgin Baylor's Laker record. For three again. Yes!
Well, they're 70.
Everybody wants it to get into Kobe's hand. Kobe pump fake for two. Kobe's got the Laker record. 81-point game. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.